Chapter 26. As far as Sister Colleen was concerned, Jan Roderick should have been grounded for running off to Madison West 3 the way he did, not encouraged by being taken on some open-ended jaunt into the higher worlds, not rewarded. And why was Sister Colleen the one who had to take him? Sister John smiled. Colleen, you're only going to West 31. It's hardly the High Megas. But he's already been over to 3 by himself. He says if he doesn't find whatever it is he wants to find on 31, he's got a whole string of more worlds in mind to visit. So he does. Ask him to show you the numbers. 3, 31, 314. He's got it all worked out. A regular little strategy. But as far as I can tell, he doesn't even know what it is. If he did know, there'd be no point looking for it, would there? So, am I supposed to just go on and on as long as he wants? I'm sure you'll use your common sense, sister. But why me? I'm a city girl. Seriously? You know I am. Born and raised in Madison. In Madison, West 5, you mean? Believe me, Sister Colleen, I know West 5 is our nation's capital now, but compared to the big datum towns before Yellowstone, West 5 is Dodge City. Where? Never mind. What about his numbers? I don't do math, sister. I can't even read a recipe. Well, that's true. Why not send a Sumter or Joan? Because he likes you, Sister Colleen. Really? Compared to most of us around here, yeah. How can you tell? A lifetime's experience. Look, sister, no more arguments. It will be a growth opportunity for you and a chance for him to prove himself. Pack your luggage. Backpacks only, Colleen. Impossible, breathed Sister Colleen, who never travelled light. Sister John smiled and handed her a battered paperback book, The Stepper's Guide to the Long Earth. Go on, off your pop. Existential mysteries don't solve themselves, you know. Is that what Jan calls this? If he had the vocabulary, he would. So after a day's preparation, with Sister Colleen in practical jumpsuit and Wimple, with each of them carrying a lightweight backpack and stepper boxes on their belts, off the two of them went. They left the home at West 5 in the morning. A steam-powered tram took them into a downtown district dominated by the big wooden barn of a Capitol building that now housed the U.S. Congress, itself a copy of the destroyed original on the datum. There they got out and stepped, heading for Madison West 31. Neither of them were great steppers, however, and Sister Colleen insisted they take it slowly, leaving 10 or 15 minutes between each step, even though the nausea pills they'd taken were pretty effective. So it took several hours to step across a patchwork of Madison footprints, each more or less built up, though none so much as West 5. They broke for lunch at a snack bar in West 20. It was about 4 in the afternoon by the time they reached West 31. This was September, but the day in this world was warm and bright. The geography of this footprint of Madison was virtually the same as West 5, of course. Here was the Capitol Mound, and a short walk away, no doubt, they would find the lake. But there was no sophisticated development here, just tracks cutting through the prairie towards the lake shore. It seemed odd that such a nearby world should be so empty. But even after the great exodus of people that had followed the Yellowstone eruption and the evacuation of the datum, just the first dozen or so worlds to east or west had soaked up almost all the fleeing population. Each world, after all, was a whole earth the size of the original, each stepwise America a continental wilderness to match the homeland. There was, however, a traveller's rest on top of the Capitol Mound here in West 31, under a flag that fluttered bravely on a pole, a holographic U.S. Aegis Stars and Stripes. Sister Colleen had looked this place up and had arranged a reservation. Now she plotted up the mound with Jan trailing. They both had muddy boots by the time they reached the porch. You might call this huddle of single-story apartments a motel, Sister Colleen thought dismally, if motor cars ever came this way. And if you didn't know it had been converted from a temporary barracks, hastily thrown up by the US Army in the days of chaos and flight after Yellowstone, when the stepwise Madisons had become refugee camps. Still, the check-in was friendly, and their adjoining rooms were clean. Once in his room, Jan barely bothered to unpack before he spread out his tablet and his hard copy notes across his bed and set up his little home-built radio kit on the room's small table. He snapped a switch, and immediately screens started to glow. With a sigh, Sister Colleen left him to it. She'd seen him like this before. In her own room, she boiled a kettle of water on the small gas stove. It was self-catering here, evidently, and without electricity. Heating and lighting came from bottled biofuel gas. When she wanted to wash, she'd have to boil another kettle, and she hoped Jan's batteries wouldn't run down too quickly. She took mugs of coffee through the connecting door into Jan's room. Intent on his radio, he still had his outdoor coat on. She set a mug down hard on the table beside him. He winced.
"Don't spill it on my stuff."
"I won't. Now you listen to me, Jan. You're going to drink this coffee, and you'll take off that coat, and then I'll prepare you something good to eat, and you're going to eat it." He looked at her and smiled. He was a thin-faced, undernourished-looking boy, but she always thought when he smiled, he lit up the room. "Good to eat? Cheeky. Just remember, I'm in charge."
"Course you are, Colleen."
She pursed her lips.
"Sister Colleen to you."
She was not much more than twice his age, and she'd learned she had to be authoritative around the home's older children. Friendliness backed up by a steel core was the way. She glanced around at the cabin. Bare walls, scuffed floor.
"What a place. It looks like the soldiers who built it only just moved out. I wish you'd dragged me to West 3, where you went first. They have real motels on West 3, with electricity and showers."
She sighed. "And if we don't find whatever it is you're looking for on this world, we're going to have to move on, aren't we?
Where next? West 314, maybe?"
"314? That seems a long way." She glanced around at his tablet, his papers. He had a ring binder full of computer downloads and clippings from grainy low-earth newspapers.
"Well, here we are, following this trail of yours. Maybe you'd better help me understand. Where are these numbers coming from, Jan?"
He stared at her.
"Isn't it obvious?"
"I always hated math, and I hate puzzles even more. Just pretend I haven't the faintest idea what you're talking about." He took his ring binder and flipped through it until he found a page covered with rows of numbers.
"Look at this."
She leaned down to read. The digits began 3.14159265358979323846. She shrugged.
"So? Lottery numbers? Astrology?"
"Sister, these are the first 3,000 digits of pi."
"What pi?"
"Oh, pi.
Something to do with circles."
"That's it. What you get if you divide the circumference by the diameter. The digits go on forever."
"Unlike my attention span. Let me look at that again. 3.1415. Oh, I get it. So we're searching for worlds that follow the digits of pi."
He looked pained. "Well, duh."
"You started at Madison West 3, now you've come to West 31, and next 314.
She felt pleased with herself for puzzling out the pattern, even if he'd had to hold it in front of her face. But there was a further consequence.
"But that means, if we don't find what you want here, or 314, it will be 3,141.
The number sounded huge to her.
"Where's that? Is it even still in the ice belt?"
"Of course it is, sister."
He dug out a chart of what looked like a rock column, color-coded.
He'd mark some of the layers with big red asterisks.
Look, I have this Melanie chart of the Long Earth. You can see the belts. Here's the Ice Belt, and the Mine Belt, and the Corn Belt. And I mark the worlds in the coded messages.
I see. She was thinking ahead to practicalities. Even a few hundred worlds would be a long way to step on foot. Sister John had told her to take as much time as she needed and assured her that her credit, backed up by the home's accounts, was good. Probably local twains went that far, crossing the stepwise Madisons. But to go thousands of worlds, would they have to go cross-country to one of the big, long Mississippi hubs? Just how far would Sister John want her to take this? Jan was watching her steadily.
So these Pi worlds have got something to do with the stories you've been collecting, have they?
Yes, he said with a kind of stretched patience.
The stories show up in the news or the online feeds. People gossip about them, and they kind of go viral. And then you start getting stories about the stories, and then you start to see the patterns.
He showed her clippings in his ring binder and archived pages downloaded onto his tablet. Here was a strange story of a woman who couldn't step, but she could see into the stepwise worlds. She'd been called Bethany Diamond, mother of two. Sister Colleen remembered seeing some version of this story on a trashy, strange but true documentary. Diamond had died in the year 2030, in the middle of a post-nuke riot in Madison, and it turned out the woman had spent much of her later life here, in a small community in West 31. And then there was the legend of Johnny Shakespeare. That particular story, a strange but maybe true fable of the Long Earth, had been written up in a book for children, and he, supposedly, had let his self-replicating Shakespeare volumes loose on Earth West 31,415.
You see? Jan stabbed the page with a grubby finger. That was the one that gave me the real clue. The first five digits. It was staring me in the face.
Colleen thought she heard a woman's voice, very faint, as if far off. This was a very quiet world. Distracted, she turned back to Jan.
So you believe that all these stories, I think, they're a message. I think they've been planted in the news, on the internet, the outer net. All you've got to do is put together the clues, see the pattern, and then it's obvious.
What's obvious? He shook his head, impatient at her slowness.
That something important is happening on one of these worlds.
The Pi worlds?
Yes! People are doing something, and they want help.
How can you tell?
Because they're asking for it. What else can all this mean?
Again she heard that faint voice.
And now you're here, and you've got your radio transmitter and you're broadcasting what? My name, where we are, and the Pi digits. I'm telling them I know they're calling, that I understand.
He tapped his set.
This is a shortwave radio. It will be picked up anywhere on this earth.
But what kind of help can they possibly want from
a kid like me?
He glared at her, defiant.
Maybe if I'm smart enough to figure out the code, I'm smart enough to help, even if I am just a kid.
I'm sorry, she said quickly. It's just that it's all so strange for me.
But you can't deny it's real.
I guess not. Again, that voice. She glanced to the grimy window.
Can you hear somebody? The lady on reception said we were the only guests here.
He stared at her. Then he lunged at his radio and turned up the volume. Suddenly the voice was crystal clear. Stay where you are and keep broadcasting. We've located you from your signal, but it will take us a few hours to reach you. Thank you for responding to our message and for taking the trouble to come. My name is Roberta Golding, and I look forward to meeting you. Don't try to reply. This message is on a loop. Be assured, we're on our way. Stay where you are and keep broadcasting. Sister Colleen and Jan just stared at each other. Then Jan jumped to his feet and ran around the room, punching the air.
Yes, I was right!
Sister Colleen longed to join in, but she said, Well, now, just be sensible, Jan. We don't know what this is about yet.
It's going to be fun!
She grabbed his shoulders to make him stand still. He was panting hard.
But I'm still in charge, she said. Deal? Deal.
Of course, he would have promised anything to get to meet this Golding woman. Sister Colleen sighed.
I suppose I'm glad I'm not going to have to trek off to the High Megas or wherever. Now, before this lady shows up, will you calm down? Take your coat off and get washed and have something to eat.